Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what was the voice that one person heard late at night in their own home? That's the question we ask today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. Of course, we'd love to hear your ghost stories. 855-853-4802, the phone number to call them in 24-7, or on our website, write them in realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, if you like the show, get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes of the show, our full archive of episodes, which is the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. All of it right there, $5 a month to get it, patreon.com/realghoststories, or through our website at ghostpodcast.com. Get all the extras and help keep our program on the air. It's Tony and Todd with you on today's episode. What's going on with you?
I realize you're a busy guy with all the podcasts and all the stuff that you do. You got a daughter, you got a little farm there. Mm-hmm. And then we were talking before about getting ready for severe weather. So what does that entail exactly?
Well, I get on my Schwinn and I ride it across the yard. And I start doing severe weather coverage for the farm animals through a loudspeaker. Yes, complete with, it's like DJ equipment almost. You just kind of set it up and you just start reading the watches and the warnings from the AP, and the animals kind of look at you like, what the hell are you doing? And your neighbors call the police. For me, it's you know, we have the animals. So depending on what's going on, and that's what I say, I never thought I'd say this, but I was just getting ready. I was rounding up the animals right before we went on the air. Never thought you'd hear me say that. Because of my concern today mainly is hail. So I don't want them to get, you know, golf balls falling from the sky on all of them, or tennis balls. So I did put them into the barn, and they got the dogs in there too. The pigs, good luck. They got a little house, so hopefully they wake up from their slumber and get into their house before the hail starts. Did all that, and then got my truck into the garage, got Harper's running around in the house like I was as a child. Now, when I was a kid, I would go and gather up all of my cassette tapes, because those are my valuable possessions. Because I'd be playing radio, I'd be playing Y96 FM in my basement, and right. And I didn't want those to be destroyed, so I would constantly, I'd have to run and get all my cassette tapes prior to a tornado, and my parents would make fun of me. Oh, it must be a storm coming. Tony's getting the cassette tapes, because they didn't take anything seriously. But cassette tapes are them. So I would get those down there. Today it's you know, she gets kind of her stuff, puts it into the shelter. I get, you know, my computer and just kind of, you know, the basic stuff that you don't want to, you know, have above ground.
Right.
And so, you know, go to the safe, you know, that sort of stuff, and then pull that to the basement, or not the basement, the shelter. And then you kind of wait. So we got that greenish tint to the air today, and we're in kind of one of them bubbles where it's supposed to be nasty later. So it's just kind of, you know, wait, watch, and be anxious all day.
Your entire, like, adult life, once you left Wisconsin, you've been living in, like, Tornado Alley the rest of your life. And then I think of you now with this farm. I always picture the Wizard of Oz, and I see you out there counting the chickens in the incubator and then running around with the farmhands trying to let the cows out of the barn. That's what I see you doing.
Go get Elsie! Get Elsie! Hurry! Elsie's in the corner! Yeah, that's... the thing is, I do have a cow named Elsie.
See, I'm lucky because my studio is right in the basement. Now, if I lose power, I'm out, you know, I'm out of luck. Yeah. But other than that, I can just work through the entire storm and I'm set.
That'd be nice. You know, my little storm shelter is as big as some studios that we've worked in radio in the past.
There you go.
But it has horrible reception because it's a pit in the ground. I've thought about putting some stuff down there, but I don't know. If it blows away, I'll let insurance replace it with newer equipment. So
I saw you in your video on Instagram or something like that last week where you're sheltered and all that. And I'm thinking, boy, I mean, you could really hide some stuff down there sometime. You know, if you do get buried in a horrible storm, and I don't want that to happen, but maybe somewhere down the road, somebody's digging and they find your skeleton with all your prized possessions down there.
Yeah, they'd be like, oh,
your cassette tapes.
Here he is. What is this? Is this the Bodyguard soundtrack? What the hell?
Lionel Richie. What?
Why is this? Yeah, it very well could happen. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first story. It says, I have so much I could say. Maybe I'll write more later. I heard the attached sound and got so excited to share it with you. Here's a little background. My family has a long history of being sensitive to seeing and hearing ghosts or spirits, whatever you want to call them. It was so strong with my great-grandmother that my family allegedly asked her to stop telling her stories. She'd have dreams where she would see somebody that we knew talking to a person in black. After she had these dreams, the person we knew, we would either fall ill or pass away. That's just one example. My own father has so many stories to tell about things that he has seen and heard. Unfortunately, my father passed away in 2013. I'm still waiting for him to show up and talk to me. My sister, when she was a baby, would tell my parents about the nice lady who would visit her and play tea party in the middle of the night. My father told me that they believe that was my great-grandmother. To this day, my sister and I will really get upset if you try to ask her about it. I've had experiences also. I've seen objects in my house move. I've heard voices say my name. I felt the presence of females who have passed on whom I knew, I believe I knew. I do not know how to explain that other than to say I had the sense that I knew who they were and that they were with me to bring me a sense of calm. I could go on with many stories, but I'll not. What I am bringing to you today is a recording. I use an app at night that records me while I sleep. Sounds creepy, but it's just to monitor sleep patterns and what impacts my sleep. It'll pick up the sound of my cat and my dog. It picks up the sound of my movements and, unfortunately, snoring. LOL. Last night, it picked up something that sounds like a voice. Something that I could not explain. The voice is not mine. I wear a mouth guard at night because I grind my teeth, so talking is not exactly easy while I'm wearing it, and it does not sound like my voice. I believe I know what it sounds like. The voice is saying, I'll let you decide if you agree. To me, it sounds like the voice is saying, I'm fine. What do you think? Given the history that my family has, it would not surprise me if this really were a voice, and if it were a voice from someone in my family. What makes me nervous is a possibility that I'm going to hear some news today that someone in my family has passed or a close friend has passed. And this voice is that person visiting me just saying that they are fine. Thank you for letting me share my story with you. I've never written in before, but I really enjoy listening to your show. I'll try to be less of a talker and more of a giver in the future. Okay, I'm going to find this sound while you tell me what you think thus far of the story.
I think one of the creepiest things about people who are sensitive and have abilities is the ability to have that experience where somebody passes and they immediately come. And you're kind of like the first person who realizes that person's gone. And also those who tend to have the ability to know when people will pass. Mm-hmm. I think that's really creepy. And I think recently a family member asked me if I wanted to know a date or something like that. And I did, but I didn't. Yeah. And certainly for my life, I really don't want to know because I'll live my entire life around that one day. And I don't want to do that.
That's not a question I ever want to ask, like a Ouija board or a ghost box or anything like that. You know,
when will I die?
Yeah, it just I'm open to asking all sorts of questions. But that or anything surrounding my own death or the death of any loved ones, I don't want to know. And,
right.
I mean, and the thing is, half the time they're wrong. And that's what I've been told by many people that are in the, you know, the community that use ghost boxes and things of that nature. They're like, yeah, you know, it's inaccurate quite often, but it can be a very clear message, but still inaccurate. That doesn't necessarily, though, stop the anxiety, though, when it tells you like May 5th or something like that. It's like, OK, let's get past that day and I'll feel better.
Right, exactly.
But all right, here's the audio. I have not listened to this on the air yet. Let's see what we have and see what we hear. Take a listen. I honestly didn't hear anything.
I think I may have heard it about like a second or two in at the beginning.
Was that? Okay, let's try it again.
Right there.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know how she sleeps with that much noise in the room. No. It sounds like she's in a dryer, a washing dryer. But it does sound like something was said. I'm not sure if it does say I'm fine. I could definitely hear that if somebody told me that, but it could be something else. But it does sound like a voice saying something.
It does. I'll say this. I use a CPAP machine, just like the nose one. I don't like, it's not like a full mask. It's just like the nose pillow thing.
Yeah.
And I've had times where I will wake up from a dream talking, and it's so hard to talk with that thing on because it's pushing air through your nose and then, you know, down into your mouth too. So you got to kind of learn to sleep with your mouth shut. And if you try talking, you almost sound like you're a demon or you're possessed or something, because it's like, so I can wake up from a dream being like, what's going on? And it sounds horrible, but it's just because you're like, you can't talk with the damn thing on. And that's kind of what I'm, it almost, I don't know, the mouth guard that they're wearing, I could see it almost being the struggle to try and sleep or try and speak in your dream with the mouth guard, and you're almost struggling, but you don't know it. I don't know. I mean, they would be a better judge of that than I. I don't use a mouth guard or anything like that. But that, there's clearly a whisper or something going on there.
Right. It almost reminds me of the kind of audio you would catch if you were investigating and there was some sort of white noise in the background.
Yeah.
It sounds like it comes up over the noise in the background a little bit more than like directly into the mic. Mm-hmm. I don't know where her device is kept for her sleep monitor. I usually keep mine in my bed too. Mm-hmm. So that would play into it. But certainly if she feels like it doesn't sound like her and she understands what her movements are in her bed and the things that she's wearing in order to sleep at night, you know, she'd have a better sense of that, but I certainly do hear something.
Yeah, I do too. I just don't know what it is.
And now I know that you wear a CPAP machine, which again, totally blows my mind. And I'm picturing you with that on, running around, getting the pigs in the barn and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I can't like run around with it. It's a stationary thing. It sits in my nightstand.
Throw it on your Schwinn or your bike that you got there and drive around
the, I think I would bar. Look I would look like some sort of like monster from a bad like 1940s movie, you know, that would have been on in Wisconsin we had
was it Comet?
Chiller Theater.
Chiller Theater
on WLUK back in the day.
That's right.
Yeah, that was a good funny story with that. Because this was like your local, you know, horror movie show that TV stations used to run in all different parts of the country. It was usually hosted by somebody locally, very, you know, low grade production, but it was fun. It was just a funny show. And I remember I was having a conversation one day with somebody about it, just saying like how cheesy it was, but how much I kind of miss turning on TV Saturday nights at 11:30 and seeing that thing on. And then later in the day, I get a call from somebody in Green Bay that was needing some voiceover work done, and I had auditioned for something. And guess who it was?
It was Ned.
Yes. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Ned the Dead was his character. I can't remember the guy's real name.
I forget his real name. Yeah, but I'm like, oh, Green Bay. I'm like, I was just talking about Wisconsin. I was talking about this old Chiller Theater show that used. He's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. He's like, that's me.
Like, there's like, no coincidences, Tony. You knew something was going to happen.
Oh my God. It was so weird. And it wasn't like I even had an inkling that this guy had anything to do with this project that I was auditioning for at all. Like, not even remotely on my mind. It was just kind of one of those things I was talking about. Like, this is just so weird. But yeah, that happened about 3 or 4 years ago.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. I think wasn't like Owen's friends with him or somebody. Greg was somebody who worked with us back in Fond du Lac.
That's right.
Yeah, he'd always talk about him. All right, continuing on. Hello, my name is Nicole. I'm from Vancouver, British Columbia. My story is a continuation of one I sent you guys about 3 years ago. I'd written in telling you about my cat Peaches. And how on the day he died, I lost a little piece of tape with his name on it. Searched everywhere for it, and then it appeared in my room a few days later. It was about 2 years ago. I was sitting in a coffee shop, not really knowing what to do with myself, when I decided to listen to your podcast. Having a little bit of ADD, I rarely finish an entire episode. I jump around from podcast to podcast, but for whatever reason, this day was different. I was 27 minutes through an episode, and instead of doing what I normally do to start a new episode, I stuck with it. Next thing I knew, I was listening to my story. I don't know why it brought me to tears. I was so excited and overwhelmed. I realized the day you released that episode was the same day of the anniversary of Patch's passing. Once again, my boy had found a way to say hi from the other side. The anniversary of his death has just come and gone as I write this, and his way of saying hi to me this year was by knocking a book down off my shelf. This book was significant because it was the last book I would read with Patches by my side. I finished the book with him curled up on my lap 2 days before he passed away. He found different ways to visit over the years. The day he passed away, I remember looking at the clock and saw 12:34 p.m. Since that day, I see 1, 2, 3, 4 everywhere I go. Whether it's looking at the time or a total cost at a grocery store, or when I pause a song, 1, 2, 3, 4 will somehow make an appearance. My new cat, Harvey, is the spitting image of Patches, and they both have remarkably similar personalities. They both try to make me laugh and are both the most gentle, loving cats imaginable. There have been a few times where I see a glimpse of a cattail going around the corner in the kitchen. Thinking it's Harvey looking for a snack, I follow him, only to find the kitchen empty and Harvey fast asleep in the basement. Although I've never blatantly seen Patches since he passed away 6 years ago, I feel his presence always. Thank you all for reading my story all those years ago and for providing me once again and proving to me once again that my boy will always watch over me. Kind of what we just talked about. There's no such thing as coincidences.
Yep. And, you know, whenever you've got a great story like that and it involves animals, I'm all about it, because I think that really in life, nothing brings at least me. But I think in general, if you're a pet lover, if you love animals, I'm not sure that anything brings you as much joy as they do because of the unconditional love. I also love stories where people get that 111-222-1234 in their numbers. I actually have a friend and all day long, I get those messages all day long, and I will screenshot my phone every time I grab one. And I would say like 4 or 5 times a day, I'm getting them, and we're shooting them back and forth at each other. We have a contest to see who can get the most messages that way. But numbers, I think, are very important in receiving messages from beyond.
So numerology, you know, is this considered part of numerology, or is that something different?
I don't even know. I guess the term that I've seen used is like angel numbers and stuff like that.
Okay.
And apparently the numbers are messages from your spirit guides.
Interesting. Can you share any specific stories about that where, you know, where it was really kind of like, oh, wow. I mean, assuming that it sounds like it happens quite a bit, but was there anywhere it was really impactful when you kind of got that?
Well, I remember it had to do with my, I believe my dad, and we kind of had some things going on with my dad just recently, and thinking that maybe he wasn't going to be with us for very long. And in a conversation with my sisters, the number 143 came up, which I think to most people doesn't mean too much, but to me, 143 stands for I love you.
Okay.
And so when that timestamp came across on two messages at the same time, and it was like, it was kind of an affirmation to me that things were going to end up being okay in the long run.
But, yeah.
I think, you know, you just see little things during the day and you're like, am I on the right, you know, what's going on? Am I on the right track? And all of a sudden you look at the clock and you see 111, you're like, okay. Whether there's something to it, I don't know, but it's ironic that it happens so often in my life.
Yeah. No, it is. It's one of those things where when you have those things, then you start wondering, well, am I seeing this more frequently or am I not? And I don't know, because I think there's so many times where, I don't know, I'm pretty aware of what's going on around me. But I remember it was kind of weird. And I'll say this, that this occurred, I'd say starting a couple years ago, maybe 2-3 years ago. Obviously the number 666 would be, you know, something that would stand out to me if I'm seeing right. It frequently. But I never really popped up in much of anything, in anything in my life for a long period of time. And then it just started showing up like left and right all the fucking time. Like I would get like my, you know, total at the grocery store or you name it. It was coming up more than it comfortably should be. And it was just weird. And I have to say, it has subsided earlier this year. At kind of the beginning of the year, quite honestly. It's just, I'm not seeing it that much. And I noticed that the other day. I was just kind of thinking about that. I'm like, I'm not seeing that. Because I think I was going through like an old email or I was looking for something. And I was seeing like some areas where it popped up. And I'm like, yeah, I remember that was showing up all the time. I'm like, when was the last time that happened? It's been a while. I don't know what the correlation is. I have suspicions, but right. I don't know what they are.
Well, and the other thing about 666 is it's not an easy number to come up. You know, it doesn't come up on a digital clock, which is where a lot of people get, you know, their timestamps and stuff throughout the day. So to see 666 on a grocery receipt or something like that, it's got to be kind of unique to get that number combination.
And it would be a lot. And sometimes it would just be like within the combination of other numbers, you know, like you would it would be like in the middle, but it would be consistent. It wasn't like 6646. It was like, you know, 46667 or something.
Right.
And sometimes it'd be by itself, but it was uncomfortably weird how often it was coming up. And I just was like, I don't know. Like, I couldn't say at the time I thought I had anything weird going on around me, but my world was kind of getting a bit darker. And since a lot of that has lifted, not seeing it. So
interesting.
I don't know. But yeah, it's kind of bizarre. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. So let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony and the rest of the gang. I'm calling in right now because, I mean, I don't know if it's really paranormal. I don't know what it is. But I guess I'll just have to tell you what it is first. So, earlier today I was, cleaning my room when suddenly I like felt overcome with like sadness. I felt like I was breathing something that was not air. I don't know how to describe it. Oh no, it's happening again. Shit. Anyways, my eyes started watering and like I got really hot. And then it was gone. And then it stopped for about 2 hours. And then I went to go to bed and played on my devices because why not? And then it happened again. And I started crying. And I was like, why is this happening to me? And then it stopped. And it kept happening like every 5 minutes. And I'm just like, what the fuck? What is going on? Am I okay? What? And then like it just happened seconds ago. Again, now I'm really cold. I don't know if it's just like puberty or something. Possibly. I'm sort of a skeptic, but not necessarily. I try to find the meaning of something first, but if I can't find it soon enough, then I just go to ghost. I feel like I should be digging a little deeper. But it just keeps happening. Like, I start breathing. It feels like it's not oxygen. I feel like I shouldn't be breathing it. Oh my gosh, I think I just realized what's happening. Okay. It might not be this, but, my air vent has been covered by, little containers of books. Three large stacks. And they were covering the vent, and it was always cold in my room, and earlier today I took them out of the vent, and then I feel like they may have been trapped in, and the books on top of the vent were keeping it from getting to me. Oh no, it's happening again. Shit. I don't know how to describe it. I just get really hot, and then I breathe something that's not air. Then my head kind of throbs, and then it stops, and my eyes water during it. I don't know what it is. I'm overwhelmed with sadness. I feel like I should look up the history of the house. I mean, it's not an old house. It was built like only 100 years ago. I feel like I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. It's just painful. And right now it's exactly 1:51 in the morning, and it's been happening like every 5 minutes, and I don't know if it's going to keep happening. I haven't gotten it anywhere else but in my room, which is where the covered air vent was, and I don't know, man.
It sounds intriguing. I don't know that I would jump immediately to paranormal. I think there's a lot of possibilities there. Everything from, well, maybe there's something that has been covering the air vent that's dusty or has some sort of, you know, mold or something on it that's kind of polluting your air. But I would also venture to look into the world of, anxiety, depression, panic attacks, all those sort of things. If you've never experienced them before, they are scary and they're weird and you don't know what the hell is going on, but they do tend to manifest, not necessarily in the moment of the trauma or something that you're kind of dealing with. They a lot of times manifest in the moments where you're calm and you're in a safe place because your body is finally in an area where it can kind of release those things. And that makes it very confusing as to why are you feeling that when you're in a place that is otherwise very secure. Your thoughts?
Right. And what I like about it, though, is that she said that she tries to find other reasons for what's going on with her before, obviously, she jumps into the paranormal pool, if you will.
Yeah.
And first thing that concerns me is always health. You know, if it's a heart condition or something like that, that can kind of present itself in some of those ways as well. So whenever you're dealing with stuff like that, find out how your physical health is first, and then you can start putting the pieces together. You got to play a little Columbo to figure this stuff out and really seriously and really look at it from a perspective of not being in the moment when that stuff happens. And it's hard to do. Those are the kind of calls you wish you could do live, so you can kind of ask some questions about what's going on. But my first thought would be make sure you're physically healthy and then move down the line toward other stuff.
And then you can Google Columbo and you can learn what Columbo is.
I know. Because she's a
teenager.
It's a really old reference.
And she's like, Columbo. But on the next, Jake and the Fat Man.
Wait a minute. Now, at least Columbo's not quite that obscure. What would be a Columbo-esque kind of show today?
I have no idea. Because I didn't really watch much today.
Would it be like Sherlock on the BBC or something like that?
Yeah, maybe something like, I don't know. It's hard to say. I just don't watch much. I mean, I like,
don't either.
There's, I don't know, like the crime drama that I enjoy is on Netflix, and I hope they bring it back, Mindhunter. Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't.
Oh, that is good. That's really interesting. It kind of focuses on different serial killers in the past, and it gets into the FBI profiler who basically coined the term serial killer as he was trying to learn and identify and meet with all these various serial killers historically in history. So it's based on real stories and real examinations and real investigations. And it ultimately kind of points back to BTK in Wichita. And that's where it's paused. And now there's talk. It may not come back. It may come back, but it's done really, really well. But yeah, I don't know. True story.
I'm embarrassed now. You've made fun of me about my Columbo reference. And
I haven't heard that name forever. Columbo.
I love it.
Right after Cheers, the brand new Columbo on NBC. Right. Or what network was Columbo on? You would know
it
that.
Well, back then, NBC, absolutely.
Oh, wow. Yep. I was right. Holy shit.
Yeah. That was Casey good. Kasem would have been the guy probably introing it. So.
That's funny. I was, it's not a Columbo reference, but it is a Jake and the Fat Man reference. I was once in a elevator with the character who played Jake. So there you go.
What was his name? I don't remember.
I don't remember. I was in Chicago. It was at my uncle's. My uncle was living in an apartment building there, and we were picking up my very first ever Chicago-style pizza, and we were getting in the elevator to go upstairs. And then when we got out of the elevator, my uncle's like, you know who was that? Was in the elevator with us? Like, no. He's like, that was Jake from Jake and the Fat Man.
So did you know what Jake and the Fat Man was at that point?
I knew what it was, but I never watched it. So because I was probably like 8, but I always, you know, I heard the previews and all that. So I knew the show existed. And my dad was like, whoa, that's really neat. With his giant...
Yeah, it would have been even neater if it was the fat man.
I know. My dad's like, oh, I wish I would have. You said something. We were in the elevator. I would have talked to him. Like, that would have been great. That would have been wonderful. Hey,
what's it like working with the fat man, Jake?
With his, my dad with his giant Sally Jesse Raphael glasses that he was wearing at the time and knee socks.
Sally Jesse Raphael, you want to get at me about a Columbo reference?
There is a, I don't forgot what it's called, but it's on like, you know, one of the apps you can download for TV things. And all it is 1980s and 1990s talk shows. And Sally Jesse Raphael is on there. And like you,
Ricky Lake.
Yeah, it's all there. And it's like, if you ever just want to like watch something and feel good about yourself, turn on some talk shows from the 80s or 90s. You'll be like, at least I'm not that shit.
There you go.
Yeah, those were kind of a thing into their time. You don't really see, I think Maury's still around, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know. That was a big thing back in the day.
All right. That stuff was a dime a dozen on TV back then.
Oh,
right?
My God. Yeah, it was entertaining. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. Again, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.